My life was so filled with trials, and I couldn't figure out why. I had just received Christ, why it should be blessed. And even when I received him into my heart, the result was trouble. See, although Christ was in my heart, everything else was bad. My mind was bad. My language was bad. My words were bad. My thoughts were bad. My decisions were bad. My hair was bad. My breath was bad. Everything was bad. And I couldn't figure out why. And then I began to understand. You see, when you first come to Christ, your heart is filled with self.
Welcome to Words of New Hope. Today, a message given by Dr. Wayne Cordero on the 24th anniversary of New Hope Christian Fellowship. A lot of good things have happened the past 24 years, and the Lord has blessed in amazing ways. But Pastor Wayne believes the best is yet to come. Well, here he is with a message entitled, Still Growing.
Happy anniversary, everybody. We're so glad you're here. Happy anniversary. You look wonderful for being only 24 years old. This is great. And our best days lie ahead of us. We wanted to bring back some of the things that built the foundations under us, some of the songs and the worship and the fun. It's fun serving the Lord. It really is a blast. And especially when you get to do it with people like this. We've just chosen to do life together. And what a great joy it is. The ups and the downs, the sideways, everything. We're just going to do it together. And then we also want to bring back some of the scriptures that were really foundational in our life. And one of them is the book of James. And the book of James is very prominent in our lives. And we want to unpack for you the first chapter of James as we walk through the book of James going into our 25th year. Because this built some of the foundations, the Word of God, the power of the Word of God. And then once you get to know the process of how God grows you, then you can cooperate, then you can follow, then you can follow his lead. So what we want to do a little bit today is understand the scripture, but unpack it. But first, here's the first chapter of James. James, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes that are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Now let not man expect to receive anything from the Lord, for you're a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But let the brother of humble circumstances glory in his high position, and let the rich man glory in his humiliation, because like the flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind, and it scorches the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. He continues and he says this, and I love this one. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. And then he continues for you and me. He says this. Now let no man say when I'm being tempted by God. Because God doesn't tempt anyone. And he himself is not tempted by evil. But each one is tempted when he's enticed and then carried away by his own lust. For then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting of shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth so that we might be by the word of truth, so that we might be, as it were, the first fruits among his creation. And then he says, this you know, my beloved brethren, but be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man will never achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains to wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. He then continues and speaks directly to you and me. And he says this, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror, and once he's seen himself and gone away, he's forgotten completely what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man or woman will be blessed in all that they do. Now, if any man thinks himself to be religious, but he can't bridle his own tongue, he deceives his own heart, and his religion is worthless. But this is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father, to visit widows and orphans in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. James chapter 1. Now, I recite that because this was the first scripture that God had me memorize when I became a Christian. My life was so filled with trials, and I couldn't figure out why. I had just received Christ. Why it should be blessed. But instead, I received Christ in my heart, and even when I received him into my heart, the result was trouble. And I couldn't figure that out. See, although Christ was in my heart, everything else was bad. My mind was bad. My language was bad. My words were bad. My thoughts were bad. My decisions were bad. My hair was bad. My breath was bad. My car was bad. Everything was bad. And I couldn't figure out why. And then I began to understand. You see, when you first come to Christ, your heart is filled with self. Everything is for me. I vote for me. I want me to be promoted. Everything has to be good for me, convenient for me. So basically, I suck this vortex, as it were. Everything is for me. But when the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, when you receive Christ, guess what happens? He starts to push self over. And he pushes self over, all the way over to here. Now, self will always be a part of yourself, because you'll never get rid of you. You're always, part of you is going to be there. But now the Holy Spirit comes in and he takes up residence in your heart. Now, this caused me a lot of trouble, because we started fighting as to who was going to have the final say in all of this. I thought he was supposed to come into my heart to help self. And he said, oh no, I come in here to diminish self. And I thought, that's not fair. I invited you in. But it's sort of like this. Let's say you have a filthy bachelor. He's a party animal, dirty. He doesn't take care of his apartment because he lives there by himself. And you ever notice that when you are by yourself, you don't even smell your own BO? It's not bad at all, right? Others will. There's this funny story. This lady, she excuse me, but I got to tell this. You want to hear it? It doesn't matter. I want to hear it. And so she goes into this elevator, and this guy with a terrible BO is in there. And this little compartment, now the door closes, and she goes, oh, no. I mean, it's so bad. She's starting to tear up. It's so bad, you know. And she has to say something, so she turns around and says, excuse me, but somebody's deodorant isn't working. And he looks at her and said, well, it can't be mine. I don't use any. So, you know, when you're by yourself, it's like everything's cool. So this guy is a bachelor in his own apartment, and he's got his dirty laundry everywhere, his dirty socks and his workout stuff, and it's just terrible. He's got half-eaten sandwich still on the table from 2 weeks ago, and he's got Cheetos and French fries under the cushions of his sofa. I mean, it is so filthy, even the cockroaches and mice are packing their bags and leaving, saying, we can't take this. Now, let's say an old buddy roommate, a college guy, comes in to be his roommate. But this guy is Mr. Neat Freak. Everything is organized. He's punctual. He's dependable. He loves God. He's not a party animal at all. Now, as soon as he moves in, the result of this new living arrangement spells trouble. Now they're going to have problems, aren't they? And the same is true. When the Holy Spirit came into my heart, I had trouble. I started fighting with him, saying, well, why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? Now, the Holy Spirit kept working on me to change my heart and diminish self. Now, you see, over here, you have a lot of, let's say, drive to do stuff. Over here, you've got stuff that has to come through your heart into your life. It's fuel. And it could be passion, a desire to better yourself. It could be a need to be predominant or prominent, to sense that you're a valuable person. Other fuels could be pride. Pride is a fuel. Greed is a huge fuel. I just want more and more and more. Good or bad, these are fuels, isn't it? Passion, lust is a fuel. Anger or hurt from the past is a fuel. Vengeance is a fuel. All of these things are fuels. Now, they're all within your heart, in your guts here, and you have to make sense of this. So sometimes you don't know what drives you. Well, it's something in your past. It could be something that you were hurt by, and now you're making decisions. You're fueled by something. You can't really articulate it or figure it out, but it's fueling you. It is driving you. So this is fuel. Is it refined yet? No. This is like crude oil. It's got all kinds of stuff in it. It's sludge even, but it's still fuel. Now, it's going to go up into your heart like, I really want to do this. Why? I don't know. And it could be wrong or right. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, he then refines this stuff. Now, the Word of God has to be prominent in your heart. That's why the scripture says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So the word of God has to be loved by your heart. If it's hated, then you won't have any sense of right or wrong. But when you welcome the word of God in, then everything starts to change. It actually takes crude oil and refines it. This is right. No, that's wrong. This is a right motivation. That's a wrong motivation. Now, self doesn't care. Self just wants to use it for self. But the Holy Spirit is saying, no, you don't want to be motivated by lust. You need to turn that into love. Because if you just let the fuel come through self, it'll be lust. But the Holy Spirit says, no, love. No, if you're not careful, you'll be a person plotting certain things. But the Holy Spirit says, no, I want you to be planning certain things. Over here, if it comes through self, if self has the last say, then you're going to be someone where instead of serving, you'll be scheming. And everything changes. Instead of being transparent here and honest, you'll be theatrical. And you'll act it out to get people to believe you. So all of these things start to change. When you go through here, the Holy Spirit says, no, I'm going to refine this. The Word of God comes in. I'm going to change. I'm going to show you the difference between thoughts and intentions. Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as between the soul and the spirit, both joints and marrow, able to divide asunder between the thoughts and intentions of the heart. For all things, nothing is closed or hidden, but all things are open and laid bare before him with whom we have to do. So what he's saying is, all of these things, I know what's going on and the wrong motivations of your life. But if you'll submit it to the Holy Spirit, he will refine it and make it better. If you take a hold of it, it's going to be devious. And if this happens, can you see what takes place later on in your mind? This is your brain. It's a little bigger than most of ours, but that's kind of your brain, all right? So here's your eyeballs, and here's your nose and mouth. So this is your brain over here. Now, this is a Portuguese brain, big. And now, if we say, well, this is what we want here, 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 can you understand the different ways we will be thinking? It'll be a wrong thinking. But you say, but the Holy Spirit came into my life. Yeah, but self is calling the shots. This is called carnal Christianity. When self is calling the shots and you think carnally or worldly, that's what it's going to end up becoming. But if you submit self to the Holy Spirit, He then takes those motivations that you can't even articulate because there's stuff in your past. But if you let the Holy Spirit deal with it, He'll change it completely and you'll think differently. Now, here's something here. The self really is your soul. Because your soul is your will, your intellect, your emotions. Now, even though your self has been kind of made a little smaller, your self will always be there. Now, here's the scary thing. When the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, your self still has the ability to override the Holy Ghost. He will never take away your volition. You can be a Christian for 40 years and you can still override what God's telling you. Isn't that right? I know that's right, but I'm going to do this over here. I can override that. I can compartmentalize that. The scary thing is self still has veto power. Now, if you say, well, why doesn't God just take away that will of self called self-will? So why doesn't God just take it away? Well, if He took it away, you and I would be robots because we'd have no will. We'd have no volition. We'd have no choice. But God wants us to give Him our heart because we will to serve Christ. It's not like I have to go to church. I want to go to church. It's not that I have to read the Bible. I want to read the Bible. It's not that I have to get better. I want to get better. It's not that I have to get a better marriage. I want to have a better marriage. And so you want to make sure that you are using your will to say, I vote for the Holy Spirit in this situation. I don't want to go this way. I'm giving it over to Him. So you don't want self-will. You want your will to be that of the Father's. That's why Jesus said, my will is to do the will of Him who sent me. You understand? So He had a soul or a will that was free. Now watch carefully. The devil would like to steal your soul. What does that mean? That means he wants your soul or your will to only serve self and not the Holy Spirit. And so what he wants to do is say, you're not able to have a will for what God wants, only what self wants. And I want your soul to be right here. So then you serve self. So then when the Holy Spirit wants to do something in your life, you go, why is God doing that? Why did God do that? Well, that was dumb. Well, if God is really God, why is He doing that? Because my will is only for my comfort. What's in it for me? Why doesn't God do that for me? He's got so much blessings. Why doesn't God give me some? And see, what's happening is your will is being utilized only to serve self. And once the devil ties it up that way and you have no volition for the Holy Spirit to move in your life or your marriage or your mind, then he's got you held hostage. And that's why the scripture says, what profits a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? The way Satan steals your soul is to get you to have a will only for me, not for what the Holy Spirit has. Well, what do you think the Holy Spirit wants? This is what I want. And God is going to be used to serve me, and the devil is going to use to be served me. Guess who's on the throne? Me. And I'm God, and everything else is subservient to me. So the devil wants to get your soul to serve self, so it's called self-will only, never God's will. And once he gets that, then he's stolen your soul. Jesus came to free our soul, so we have the choice to choose God and not self. That's called freedom. He frees our soul. Now that's why the Lord says, I want you to learn to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your, yeah, then with all your, and then when you act it out, with all your strength. This is the greatest commandment, but it's a process. We're all going to be in this lifelong process. You're not going to be able to figure out all of the motivations you got in your heart, not yet. But if you'll submit it to the Holy Spirit, He will refine it for you and help you to make wise decisions rather than carnal decisions. Then your mind gets fed the right stuff. So let's say when I came to Christ, and the reason God wanted me to memorize a ton of the Word because I needed a lot of help. My fuel was bad, and I had been making so many of these kinds of decisions, my brain had deep, deep patterns of reaction and response, those creases in my brain. I had that, my brain was so bad, my mind was so messed up. He said, the way to change that is you have to overwrite this by the Word of God. You got the world here. You got self here. You've got bad reactions. And you have to undo those indebted or imprinted deep, deep patterns of response and behavior. So for example, someone says to you, hey, that guy said something about you. And let's say this is a pattern of angry reaction. And you go, what? That guy said, what? You tell him to come here. Oh, I'll just take care of him. You bet. Yeah, he's a And so someone comes and does something wrong, and you go, hey, you just start telling your first and And it works. And the guy goes, oh, okay, sorry, man, sorry. And and the inside, you go, it works, man. It works. People are afraid of me. So someone else does something. Hey, you chop full of And it works again. Ooh, now it gets deeper and deeper. Maybe something of lust over here, something of greed over here. It all came from this, see? And so now this becomes your character. This is your reputation. This becomes who you are. And you can rationalize it. Well, hey, man, it's my Irish coming out or whatever. You know, that's why I am like I am. And that stuff gets deeper and deeper and deeper. Now you come to know Christ. This gets saved. This is still bad. So you have normal reactions. How many of you know that when you come to Christ, you can have a heart in love with Jesus, but a lifestyle that doesn't match that at all? And we get mad at people and go, what kind of Christian is he? Well, he could be still in the beginning throes of growth. He's still learning to renew his mind to become the mind of Christ. It's getting there, but we have to do life together and be patient with one another and give each other grace, because you may be far more advanced than someone else coming in who's got a saved heart, but his mind is still far behind. We can have a heart in love with God and a lifestyle that completely eradicates that, goes completely the opposite. If you're like that or have been like that sometimes, you're in good company. Talk to the Apostle Peter, who vowed to give his life for Christ. And within that same chapter, we find him denying Jesus three times, throws him under the bus. Wait a minute. You just said you would die for Jesus, and now you're throwing him under the bus. Ask the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 7. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. This is like a war going on inside of me. And then he says this, who will free me from this wretched man that I am? What was happening? World War III right here. Self and Holy Spirit. And we have to continually use our will to reduce self and give audience to the Holy Spirit. And if Satan has his way, he steals your will and he uses it just for self. And he refuses to allow it to be used to give voice and permission to the Holy Spirit. You must remember that what profits a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? You make sure that your will is to do the will of him who sent me. Just like Jesus. God will give you the strength to persevere. And that's James chapter 1. There's a process that you're in. Persevere. You're not done yet, but God is on his way to fulfilling the greatest commandment of all, that we love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. And when that happens, God will be very pleased to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. James was not only speaking to us from yesteryear, he's speaking to us on this 24th year anniversary. Happy anniversary. Amen. Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to a message entitled Still Growing, given on the 24th anniversary of New Hope Christian Fellowship by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Until next time, have a great day in the Lord and aloha.
One of the things I love about Hula is that its significance does not solely lie in what you see on the surface. Rather, there's a deeper meaning in what each hula represents. Each movement conveys a special message. It's like your life. Whether you realize it or not, your words and your actions carry significance. What you choose to do or not to do, what you choose to say or not to say, and even who you choose to spend time with carries meaning. You are significant. Today, choose to use that significance for good. It's not as hard as you think. It all begins with one small, selfless action. And when you do, you'll help others remember that even today, hope is alive.
Discover hope this weekend at New Hope Oahu. For more information, visit enewhope.org.